Hey, community. Welcome to an excuse for Jason and Joel to sit down and talk about toys and other interests, hobbies, and the collecting lifestyle. You're invited to participate in our conversation. This is the Order of Battle. Since the last time we talked, most states are in phase one or phase two or soft opening, feeling it out. People are going back to work, and etc. A and I have, for the most part, stayed pretty much to ourselves, kind of our normal routine since March. But what about you and yours?
I started work again, kind of like... And it's in the soft stage. I'm not doing like the crazy hours that I was doing before. Just kind of working standard 40. It's actually kind of funny because one of my bands kind of started getting back together. And actually, I didn't really have a problem like keeping track of the days until I went back to work. A lot of my weeks prior to all this, you know, I generally had 3 practices a week. Everything was in such a routine. And then when it was just like one group of guys getting together, all of a sudden I was just like totally lost. Last week, every day felt like Friday to me, which was awful because I had to get up and go to work the next day. It was also goofy because it was, you know, it led into Memorial Day weekend. So it was like, thing is, you know, back to normal yet because we're, you know, like you said, we're in phase one. Just trying to get back in the swing of things has been fun. Like I like having my sleep schedule a little bit more regulated, kind of keeping myself a little bit more sane. So I know you actually had your first like busy weekend in a long time.
As I said, A and I have been keeping to ourselves pretty much since March. But we ended up doing 4 pretty intensive nights of role-playing games. So D6 Star Wars, Pathfinder, Heroes Unlimited. It was one of those things where Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, we would start at like 7 or so, and usually end somewhere between 2 and 4 a.m. It was exhausting, but honestly, in the most rejuvenating way, I really kind of needed that.
It's been a long time. I mean, obviously, it's been since March where I've had a weekend where I couldn't really get a hold of you.
I was out of pocket, yes.
Which was very common before all this. I remember we talked, I think Saturday morning, and you're like, yeah, man, I was out till X in the morning. Well, you're like, well, I wasn't out, but we were doing this game thing. And I was like, whoa, holy shit. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to be lost probably until Monday. I was like, all right, well, I'll catch up with you then.
Yeah, and on top of that, because I'm walking in so early in the morning, and then A is, you know, waking me up at 6:30, 7 to play, I had a couple afternoon naps. It was pretty rough, and Monday night, once everything was said and done, I went to bed early and got up a little late. It was worth it, though. Before that weekend and a bunch through texts and tons of photos, we also talked a bunch about toys. And weirdly, the thing we talked about the most felt like we were talking about 6-inch figures, which is super unusual because I've never been interested in that scale before. And then with G.I. Joe coming out, now suddenly we're sniffing around.
You sent me a link to the Articulated Icons website, which if you're not familiar, Articulated Icons are 6-inch ninja figures, a step above your standard Marvel Legends figure, same scale, more detailed.
I sent that to you because a few of my friends from the Joe community, the vintage Joe community, had picked up the White Ninja, and a couple of them had picked up 3 or 4 figures and were talking a lot about it. I'm not a modern guy by and large, so I was like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And I'm not sorry, but also, I'm sorry.
I have a ton of 4-inch ninjas. I have spent a lot of time doing mild kit bashing and kind of troop building and doing all that stuff. But I have held off on the articulated icons. As I've said here before, it's easy for me to dodge something based on a price point. You send me this link, they were having an insane sale. And because I am the blockhead that I am, I couldn't just get a couple. So I got 16 articulated icons.
Okay, 16.
So in within this mix of stuff, I talked to you for about 40 minutes. I got home and I talked to Nicole. It came down to whether I want to accept it or not. Right now I have Snake Eyes. I have everything else pre-ordered. All we're getting is Destro.
True.
So I went in and they shipped fast. They came in fast. I would say, as a non-heavy 6-inch collector, for the price point that I got these for on sale, these figures are incredible. That being said, I don't necessarily know that I would, go as hard as I went at full price. They are definitely on the high-end price side for a 6-inch figure. Enough of the boring side of it. Like, these figures are pretty incredible. I had a lot of fun going through. I had a lot of fun, like, putting them together. I had a bit of stress trying to get some of the samurai armor off one of the figures, and it was a lot of work. So if you end up getting any of the samurai, I would say, if you want to take the gear off, like, you got to understand the commitment. You got one in the mail today, this morning, the day we're recording.
Yeah, a buddy of mine found a couple of the white ninjas at a shop. Super cheap, especially compared to what they're going for on eBay right now.
Yeah, wow.
He tossed it out there and nobody claimed it. And like the next day, he and I are chatting and he brings it up and I was like, yeah, I'll take that thing. I have the white ninja. I have the water slide decals. So I can make the storm shadow if I so choose. I haven't messed with it yet. I got it during the day. I was working and we had a pretty big evening, so it's in my office.
Did you get the bare arms with this figure, or is it just the white ninja with the cloth arms?
I haven't gone through the bag that was sent with it, but I did see there were some extra bits.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. I will be checking all of that later.
That is a figure I would want. It is going for a decent price tag on eBay, and that price tag is well out of the range that I'm willing to spend. Certainly, knowing that there is a Storm Shadow classified series coming, we'll see what it looks like. I'm excited. If the sale is still up, anyone listening to this, if you've ever been on the fence, go in. You don't got to go in 16 figures deep. The figures are awesome. The posability is outstanding. They're a lot of fun. I really enjoy the way that company did the hands. They come with interchangeable hands. The hands are like a rubber material. They're softer, so they don't stretch with weapons. They're awesome. Like, it's a great toy line. I do not regret going 16 in.
You hit me up a bunch about whether or not I was going to go in on that. And I had a cart with one of each of them in it, but some other things came down the line that had priority, and so I didn't buy any of them. I may go back and buy some later on, but I've got to recoup a little bit.
All right, A. So your dad has been filling me in a little bit on a new team that you've been working on.
Yes?
So why don't you tell me who's leading the team and what they're called?
Okay. It's Marth's industry team, so basically Destro's leading the team, but he put Scrap Iron in charge of bringing them on missions. So it's basically Scrap Iron.
Okay, and what's the name of the rest of the team?
They're called the Iron Vipers.
Cool. In your version of the Iron Vipers, because you created them, they're all using vintage Scrap Iron bodies, right?
Yes.
That is very cool.
But my Scrap Iron has the most perfect head I have ever seen. Not even a bit of paint rub. And I also have a leg where the pistol part, that part is colored in sort of black.
Okay.
So those are both two ways I can tell scrap iron from the other iron vipers.
And you kind of came up with this team a couple of weeks ago, right?
It was actually about maybe a month ago. Because they were originally called cyber vipers. Then I learned about the Megamarine Cyber Viper, so I had to change it to Super Cyber Viper. And Dad asked me what I was going to call them, and I was like, no, I want to get something more scrap irony. So I chose Iron Vipers.
So you have written a file card for them, right?
Yes.
Do you want to read that with us, or for us?
Yes. The Mars Industry Elite Team of Missile Troops that were trained by Ripper and report to Scrap Iron, the Iron Vipers, are required to keep their laser pistols with them at all times in the base, which is highly secure and never once had a break-in. They use their missile and laser gun to distract Joes and destroy their vehicles most of the time. And they are also have armor, but Scrap Iron has more armor than them.
Okay, so he's beefed up a little bit since he's in charge, right?
Yeah.
How many of these would you like to have in your collection? What is your ultimate goal?
So I think I have about 9 right now, and I'm trying to get to 15 and maybe more.
Has the Iron Vipers been like the main villain that you've been using when you're playing?
Not actually that much, because I have been doing battles in my mom's bedroom for the past few days, because there's like so many places to hide figures. Like there, she has her long bed. I can like do crazy battles on it. That's one of my most favorite places to do that. And I've just been using a couple vintage figures that I got out, and the rest are middle years. So I haven't actually been playing with them lately.
That's all right. Is there anything else you want to tell us about the Iron Vipers?
So at their very, very, very highly secured base that has never had one break-in, as far as everyone knows, the guards are supposed to walk around lugging their missile launchers on their shoulders, and they have to carry like 3 laser blasters with straps. So they're like geared up, and there's 5 missile launchers stacked on top of each other, surrounding the base, every single spot.
That is a lot of armor and missile launchers.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for telling me about your new team. I always enjoy seeing pictures of all your scrap irons lined up. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
A couple weeks ago, I read Bill Nedrow's The Joy of Jokon. That led me to picking up Daryl DePriest's 1999 book, The Collectible G.I. Joe, and Jim Beard's book, The Joy of Joe. Reading both of those, like The Joy of Joe is a mixture of 3 3/4 G.I. Joe kids and 12-inch G.I. Joe kids, right? It's just their memories of childhood. Some of these people that wrote the essays do not collect today, do not have any toys of this ilk today. And then the Daryl DePriest book, it's everything for 12-inch, right? And so between those two, I'm not a 12-inch guy. I'm just not. However, I have spent no small amount of time on eBay by looking at Daryl DePriest's book and reading The Joy of Joe. I am walking a thin wire here, man.
Very similar to the Articulated Icons bit, but like anybody who's listened to any of the episodes that we've put out know that I have this custom adventure team 4-inch world that I've been working on for a while. So you were sending me all these great photos of Adventure Team Joe's from his book, which led me to trying to scour the internet to find that book. But you're sending me all these pictures, and I would like to own or try to own one of every style of G.I. Joe. I did stumble onto a 12-inch club's adventure team member at a local shop here for a very cheap deal, so I grabbed it. For the past few years, even before my adventure team deep dive, or not deep dive, but I guess like off the rails whatever you want to call it, I have always kind of been tempted by getting one Hot Toys. I have been very tempted by some of the Hot Toys G.I. Joes because they are like insanely detailed from the photos I've seen.
They are gorgeous in person.
So you and I had this conversation where you have a friend who has a lot of them. And when you're sending me these photos, I then go to eBay. I don't think I've ever said this in a recording sense, but I know that you and I have talked about it. When the club was going out, I was trying to buy as much stuff that I could justify buying to myself because it was on sale. And as I've said before, I'm a sucker for a sale. At one point, I had made a cart with the club's Atomic Man and the outfit pack. I landed on not buying it. And when I woke up the next morning and was like, you know, I'm just going to buy it because I'm in this adventure team groove right now. And I like that he has transparent limbs. And I went to order it, sold out. Here's that lesson that I keep teaching myself over and over again. I spit this story out to say, while I was looking at Hot Toys on eBay, I was also looking up that figure. And anybody who has any knowledge of Hot Toys or Sideshow knows that they were expensive out of the gate, and they are expensive on the secondary market. And the Mike Powers figure from the club, he's not that far behind some of the Hot Toys. He's actually more expensive than a couple of the Hot Toys I looked at. It is a significant amount of money, so it is a significant purchase. And you and I were kind of playing it very cool with each other because we both knew that we were like, not even a nudge. Like if we would have just breathed at each other in the wrong direction, we each would have bought a 12-inch Joe.
I was close. And not just a Joe, but some vehicles and equipment and the whole nine, man. For now, I'm going to read about the 12-inch. And I'm going to enjoy them through pictures.
I'm right there with you because I don't know if I'm ready to start a new line within the line of what I do.
I have too many things on the priority list to bump that to the top. But I am very much drooling over learning about the 12-inch. It's completely new to my world. You know, in talking about pictures of G.I. Joe, I've been doing this thing on Twitter lately called the Daily Battle Report. And I've been copying what I'm doing on Twitter over to Facebook in the A-Raw Vintage 1982 to 1994 group. So what I've been doing is every day, you know, as A plays, I look at what he's doing when I remember to do it. So sometimes there's like a huge battle out. Sometimes I walk in and he just has a small thing. You know, I'm working while he's playing. I drop down and I try to find an angle to photograph that's not, you know, just a flat cell phone picture. And that daily battle pick even extended with a hike we went on with A recently where, you know, we're out in the woods finding mossy rocks to balance a few things. And it turned out to be a pretty cool pick for that day.
Your daily battle picks and specifically the photos you're talking about from that hike really kind of kicked something off in my brain. In the last couple weeks, I have made it a point, you know, for the pictures for our show and for the pictures just on my phone that I forget to post to my own toy photography Instagram. I have made it a point to try to make it a once a week priority to get out and do something with my figures in the wild. A couple weeks ago, I had a lot of fun with almost a similar setup of figures that you did. I had Outback, Alpine, and Hit and Run. And I went out to one of my normal spots, but I went to a different location in the park and had a lot of fun trying to like revamp how I was taking pictures and not just going to the same spot. Your daily battle picks have really kind of have re-sparked something that I've needed, just kind of dust the cobwebs off again. And within that, I went out with a couple of my custom adventure team guys that I often talk about, and I grabbed the two cryptids, the Marvel Legends Build-A-Figure Sasquatch and Man-Thing. And I bought those specifically for my adventure team guys. So I went to a park and shot Sasquatch with with three custom adventurers. And then a few days later, I took the same three adventurers and man thing and a small boat. I grabbed a Lego camera because it's like pretty much the right scale for a modern G.I. Joe. And I just kind of went with this adventure team guys trying to grab pictures of the cryptids. And I'm really, really happy with the way these pictures came out. And I can't wait to put them online.
When you shared those with me, there was that one that I'm not sure how you balance that dude, but it looked like he was actively like freaking out and capturing the shot. And I liked it a lot.
That was a lot of fun. I had to take two sticks and like break them and stick them into this little stream to hold the boat at the right angle. Cause obviously it's a boat in running water. So it was trying to run away. That picture in particular is like one of my favorite I've ever taken.
Yeah, it was excellent. To speak to that, you and I are still really clunky when it comes to social media and self-promotion and all the other stuff. At the moment, you are managing Instagram. I'm managing Twitter, kind of Facebook. You know, I assume as things go on, we'll get more cohesive and better. But right now, Instagram is sort of your thing. And if people reach out through Instagram, they're going to get you.
Yes.
And if they reach out through Twitter, they're going to get me. And then I'm just on Facebook because of the toy groups. And I know you don't have Facebook at all.
Yeah. So probably for the lifetime of this show, you will always be the Facebook guy. But I would like to get better at both Twitter and Instagram to where we're both pretty
fluid.
Yeah, between the two.
It'll get there. I'm not rushing it. I still feel a little awkward about it. That said, the Twitter community has been friendly and welcoming and not at all weird or off-put by the fact that Caesar Moo and Order of Battle are both on Twitter in the same community.
All the feedback and stuff I've gotten via Instagram has been very nice, and I'm excited to get more interactive with people.
Since we're the Order of Battle, let's look at one of our pages. Issue 2, January 1987, page 5, trade page 80, Rakondo. I chose Rakondo because of a few things. I usually send him out on his own missions without anybody. So I'd normally use him as like a loner in the jungles by himself. He can like assault cobras with his sniper rifle thingy. I like that. Like, that kills Cobra very easily. And I think he's got like a silencer on there or something. I don't know what it is. Sort of like a sniper. His head sculpt is like fun. Like, I like the head sculpt. Fold up hat. His face is sort of menacing, in my opinion, which scares some cobras. He's got a cool build. Like, I am very glad they chose to use that body. Me and my dad don't have any of his modern custom or middle years versions. V-Rim is my favorite Rakondo version over Tiger Force. He sometimes goes out with Pathfinder version 2, which is a middle years. And he comes with a black awe striker. So I sometimes use him with that in the black awe striker. So he also sneaks up on Cobra a lot. And he's used in swampy marshland missions. On to the variations. Blomo's guide manages 3 variations of leg camo. Yojo.com manages 4 versions and variations of legs. I do not know how many Tis Tank lists because I haven't been on their website before, so who knows for me. Croft noted a patch on the arm where the arrow is pointing down, where we have the arrow pointing up, me and my dad. And he also says that there is over 20 leg variations and that the leg stripes will match the watch / bracelet. And he believes there is over 20 different colors of variation. So really, I have no clue. So that's the end of the Order of Battle today.
So this weekend, in one of the few moments that you had to shoot the shit with me after hours when you were lost in the game realm, you sent me a screenshot of Marauder had added a couple of like geared out figures that were replicating figures from the Joe expanded universe. One of which was like a Marauder Task Force style Night Creeper, and the other one was a Red Shadow. I spoke about struggling with Night Creeper customs in a previous episode, and for some unknown reason, it never clicked in my head to just dig into my Marauder bin and at least play around with it and see if I could find something I liked. So I'm going to spend some time this weekend figuring out what accessories I want to get for these guys and just build out the customs that have literally been sitting in a bin for 3 years. So out of that, I had a pretty crazy week G.I. Joe-wise. A guy that I've bought stuff from before, who's a friend of a friend, had posted something. My buddy tagged me in it. I immediately DM'd him and told him I was interested in the item. And he was like, hey, I got a ton of club and convention stuff that I'm looking to move. So later that day, he sent me a series of photos, and he was not kidding. It was pretty much exclusively club figures, whether it was convention and or FSS. When it was all said and done, this was my biggest purchase with one person online ever. Also happened to work out that I had did a side job that paid a good amount of money, and then I fell into this deal for a lot of money. Yeah, it felt like a Holy Grail type event rather than a Holy Grail item. I got a package full of, for the first time in a very long time, figures I've never had before. I'm trying to not babble on too much about this, but like in this giant bundle deal, I was able to feel comfortable with everything that I bought. I got a lot of heavy hitters in this box, and it's monumental. I'll never forget this day until I lose my mind. It was truly insane. So I'm going to hit you with a few highlights because I got in the high 20s of figures, and I'm not going to sit here and just read 20 names. Like, that's not fun for anybody.
Sure. I'm ready for the highlights. Hit me.
One of the big ones for me was in the 2014 convention set was like Eco Warriors versus Zombies. I recently like got the Eco Warriors. But one of the show exclusive figures was a Steel Brigade Delta with like a crazy paint job. I didn't get the vehicle, but I got the Steel Brigade Delta. And he is a very sought after figure. Everyone loves Steel Brigade. And he's been expensive for as long as I've been in the game. I got him. He is a big accomplishment. The paint job is just insane. The camo on his pants is like, it's probably some of the club's best paint job. I scooped Nunchuck, which is a figure I didn't get at Joe Fest, and I have regretted and did not see one at CoilCon. A little bit more than I wanted to pay on eBay, and also just doesn't come up that often. I got Slice and Dice. I got the club's like Ice Night Creeper. I got a second one of him. But one of the highlights, and what I'm going to close the list out on, is I got an unreleased G.I. Joe. I got a Rise of Cobra Ripcord that never made it to shelves. They used the entire build, subtract the head, for the Pursuit of Cobra Skydive. It's an awesome figure. He's a pretty accessible figure. Like, he's generally on eBay once in a while, like, in different variations of complete. It was very exciting for me to pull him out of the box. He was actually the first figure that I took out of his little baggie when I opened up the big package, because it felt so cool and crazy to hold like an unreleased product, you know. Pretty much all I'll get into on that, you and I and the listeners, for me just reading the 20 something names off a list. But sure. If you're not familiar, just Google unreleased Rise of Cobra ripcord and he will come up.
I am not familiar, but I look forward to seeing your pictures.
So you also got a lot of stuff, and I'm excited to hear about it because this is one of the rare episodes where you and I haven't really caught up on a lot of this stuff. So like this is going to be my first time hearing your reaction to these things.
Yeah, since the last time we talked, a lot of things showed up, and it wasn't all like done at once. I think I mentioned this before. I don't like to talk about anything that's not in the house. And so, because of COVID, there was a delay on a few trades and a few other things. So, it's been huge lately as things have started to show up. Kind of like you, the highlights, right? Just in the last couple weeks, I've probably gotten some 5 to 10 new robot sharks for the 92 eels, several more pieces for A's iron vipers. We started focusing on Mega Marines based on last episode's conversation with A. That was what he wanted as his focus. All of the Sky Patrol figures, not the vehicles, an SMS, and there's more than that for the little side, but this is just the highlights. And then the two big things. I received the Venomous Sea Serpent, which is the Cobra aircraft carrier designed by Victor Garcia. I had the bridge from Joe Fest last year, but I didn't pick up the actual ship back then. So that showed up at the house. And a Night Boomer, which was one of the big ticket items that I was looking for 2020.
Your Night Boomer showed up the same day as my huge package of figures. And that was awesome.
We were both sending each other photos. It was great. Between like your big figure haul and then my own just sort of everything showing up at once, culmination of a lot of little things with a handful of really nice key items. The Boomer is the cherry on top that I am way stoked about. It's been a crazy couple weeks, and so I don't think the next time we talk is going to sound anything like this. I do have to mention 90% of what you talked about tonight were ninjas.
Yes.
Let's end here on a ninja note. This has been the Order of Battle. Reach out to us through email, orderofbattlepod@gmail.com, Twitter at orderofbattlepd, and Instagram at orderofbattlepod. Let us know what you think, anything we should be covering, your latest hauls, your explorations of various scales in and outside of G.I. Joe, whatever's on your mind. Self-Help did our music, Rhino did our logo, and we thank you.